I'm Mary Grace Almandres, the Vice President for Diversity and Inclusion. Welcome to the Lonely Campus podcast, as presented by the Office of Diversity and Inclusion. This show is hosted by our administrative fellow, Amy Messersmith, and features students just like you who share stories about the challenges and triumphs that come with trying to find your place on Syracuse University's campus.
Everybody, this is Amy Messersmith. I'm one of the associate directors for HUP and SSS, and I'm also one of the administrative fellows for the Office of Diversity and Inclusion. And my proposed project is a pop-up podcasting studio. And so it's September 29th. We're in the Intercultural Collective and Chine Student Center at Syracuse University. And I'm super excited to have popped up in the IC and talking with one of our Posse students. And so it is my distinct honor and pleasure to introduce Julian Barrios. Julian, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm very excited.
Awesome. Do you mind giving us a little background in terms of just maybe your hometown, your major, what school you're in?
So I was born and raised in Miami, Florida. I went to a performing arts high school called New World School of the Arts. And now I'm a freshman at Syracuse University, and I couldn't be happier. I'm a VPA film major, so it's going great.
Very cool. So just to give us a little background about how we got here, can you give us a little more about what the college decision process was like for you?
Yeah, for sure. So I applied to around, I'd like to say, 15 schools. That was quite a bit. And I applied for each one with a film VPA major. So sort of like movies, documentaries, all that type of style of film. And that requires a portfolio. And each school requires different things. So that was definitely a lot. That pushed me a lot, I'll say that for sure. But...
you have 15 different portfolios that you submitted to different schools.
Yep. I have one portfolio with like all my projects, and I needed to either make some new ones or cut some out, whatever, to submit to each individual school. So wow. Yeah, it was a lot. But I applied to Syracuse. I got into almost all my schools, and
nice.
What actually swayed it was the Posse Scholarship, the Posse Foundation Scholarship, which I'm so blessed to have. Like, I cannot talk too good about it. Like, it's amazing. Do you want me to get into the process of Posse?
Sure, yeah.
Posse is a merit and leadership-based scholarship. They do to find out their Posse scholars, they do things a little bit differently. There's a series of DAPs, which is like a synonym for interviews. They have a series of three, I believe it was. So the first one is like a group interview. Second is a personal interview one-on-one. And the third is kind of like the first, but now with like a very limited group. So for instance, they try to make you solve real world problems with like popsicle sticks and all that. They'll put you into real world scenarios and see how you'd handle it. They want to see how you delegate groups and how you just handle being a leader. And it's not just like, I remember like people in the room being like, oh, you're in my group, you're in my group, you're in my group, whatever. And I was like, that's not what a leader is. Come on. They want to see how you handle conflict between like if two opposing ideas as well. They have like some really cool and intricate ways. And all they do is just put a number on you, especially for that first interview. All they do is put a number on you, and they just have people walk around and watch you while like they give you scenarios and prompts and tasks, whatever. And you think that they won't see you, but they see you. It's really crazy. I don't know how they do it, but it was cool. And it wasn't just like three of us. It was like a room of like 60 of us. So
it
was quite a bit. And then the DAP2 interview, it was a personal one-on-one interview asking questions about, you know, daily life, but then also like, you know, like what does this mean to you? And then the way it works is they pair you with a school. So the way it works for Miami, we have five different partner schools, and Syracuse is one of them. And gotcha. Syracuse was the only one with a film program. So I really wanted to go to Syracuse. And they match it for you. You can't choose. It's by chance that I landed here.
Wow.
So I'm eternally grateful. But they paired me with Syracuse, and then they were like, you want to come into the next interview, the third round? And I was like, yes, of course. So I got it. I was so happy. And then later that night, I received a call. Actually, funny story, sidetracking a bit, but they said that they would call us that night for between 7:45 and 9:45. Or excuse me, no, 7 and 9. 7 and 9 p.m. that night. And I didn't receive a call. I didn't receive nothing because I was like, they're only going to call probably the people that, like, you know, got it. And 9:45 hit. And I'm like, dang, man, I didn't get it. 10 o'clock hits. Dang it. 10:10 actually. I received a call on my phone. I freaked out. I go, hello? And they're like, oh, like, Julian, how are you? Like, how was the process today? And I was like, oh, man, like, it was fun. Like, yeah, like, it was everything I ever hoped for. Like, it was a great experience, whatever. And he was like, all right. He's like, you got a jacket? And I was like, what do you, a jacket? Like, what does that have to, I don't have a jacket. And he's like, all right, well, you got to start packing it because you're going to be going to Syracuse.
Oh my goodness.
I was like, oh my gosh. So that's a fun little story about it. But yeah, it's a really cool scholarship and it's also a network as well. So I actually visited in April and one of my friends has it. Is a Posse Scholar as well, who just graduated as a senior last year. They have this thing called Posse Love and it's just hospitality and just like when you share a bond with somebody, when you know that they're a Posse Scholar, so like you're there for them, that's like your brother, that's like your sister, so it's very nice. And then you also get to work with like big corporations and all that, and just everyone there is so friendly and nice. Like it's the best scholarship network I could have ever imagined.
It's interesting because, well, first of all, your story of waiting by the phone
yes.
for a phone call, and what a roller coaster
yes.
to kind of gone through. I'm sure, you know, mentally cycling through this process of they're going to call, they didn't call. Well, but
yeah.
They still might call. They're definitely not calling, you know?
Yeah. And it's a long process. It starts all the way in September, right when school starts.
Wow.
Your senior year. Yeah. Your senior year, it starts in September, like right when school is starting. And you find out December 2nd, I believe it is.
Wow. So
that's
when
I found out.
You have to commit to finishing the process.
Oh, yeah.
But then once you're there, once you're accepted, it's almost like an identity.
Yes.
It's a part of your identity
yeah.
now.
Yeah. I mean, it's also an early decision program as well. So like I was locked in since December, which I mean, like, yeah, you can look at it as like, oh, I lose out on the whole, I get to choose my college
right.
and narrow it down, whatever, and fight for money, whatever. But like, that's like an in the moment thing I've realized. But then again, like, I remember everyone else was like trying to email for more money, whatever, and like fighting for some more scholarship money. And I was just like reviewing the Syracuse like apparel catalog. And I was like, I'm good. Like I'm settled. Don't worry. So that was definitely fun. But I'm so grateful.
What a great program. So how big is your cohort here at Syracuse?
So Posse brings in 10 students from Miami to Syracuse every year.
Okay.
So there are 9 others excluding me.
And did you guys kind of see each other through the process? You kind of got to know each other, or was it like a surprise when you saw the other 9 people who
yeah.
are going to be going to Syracuse?
So how it works is the interviewing process is kind of random. Like some I remember, some I didn't see in the interview process because they just weren't in my session.
Gotcha.
But then after, they have this thing called PCT. They're little workshops where, you know, you challenge each other on like topics about racism, what does it mean between sex and gender? So like very heightened and intelligent conversations that you get out of it.
Nice.
And I think that they really help. They really help you make like, you know, more informed decisions here on campus. They just make you a better person, well-rounded, and like knowledge will never hurt you. So we spent all the way from then. So that was, they started, I believe, in January, all the way up until we got here a month into. So I believe it was August was one of our last ones. And then now we continue them here on campus once a week. But now they're more like a little more facilitated with us. So like, for instance, later today, we're going to go have dinner, all 10 of us with our mentor, just to like have a nice conversation and talk. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah. And it definitely helps. And one of the reasons, like the name Posse, I forgot the name, but there was this one guy, I think it was a man who started the program, but he was like, dang, I could not have gone through college if it wasn't like for my posse. And that's like more of like an outdated term now. Like people don't say like, oh, my posse's coming. But that's where like the term originates from. So it's just like always having a group there, like by your side. Like there's been times where I've been in my dorm, like, man, I'm not feeling too good. And I'll call like one of my friends, John Marco, I'll be like, yo, you want to come to my room, whatever? Like, let's just hang out or something. I'm not doing that good. So you always have somebody there for you, which is so nice.
I think that is exactly what students need is a group of people who validates who they are, who they feel comfortable with, who they can rely on. And in those moments of uncertainty or stress or, you know, a little bit of homesickness,
yeah,
you've got, you know, people that you can rely on and they're a soft place to land.
For sure.
That's pretty powerful. Wow. Posse is amazing.
I love it.
All right. So, do you mind talking a little bit about what your experience was like coming to campus? Mm-hmm. Did you guys come together as a group, or what was the move-in mm-hmm. orientation experience like for you here?
So I do know that some of my friends that are a part of Posse did fly together. I didn't. I came last just because of money. It was cheaper to fly out later. Mm-hmm. So, I came in by myself. I had my mom move me in with my sister and my dad.
They all flew up with you.
Yeah. It was very sweet. The family all came together, whatever. So it was nice.
Then they had to leave without you.
I know. but it was nice. And my sister just graduated college as well. So like it kind of was like one's in, one's out. No, but it was nice. It was very welcoming. One of the reasons why, like, not that I chose Syracuse, but that I even would considered applying to it in the first place was because of like how nice you hear about like the student life here and like how everyone is to each other and how everyone treats each other. Everyone's so friendly. Everyone's so nice. So that's definitely one of the reasons why. And then I saw that right when I got here.
Nice.
So it was very nice moving in.
So like the goon squad helping you get your stuff up to your room.
Yeah, exactly. They were sweet. They were nice. They threw away our boxes in the end too. And like, they were like kind of giving me the lowdown a little bit, like what's going on. So yeah, it was very nice. And it was very easy. Like, getting my key, like, you know, you're like super shy walking up. It's like, hi, can I have like my room key? So they were very calm about it. I was like, no, it's all right. Like, how are you excited? What major are you? So yeah, they made me feel very comfortable.
It's, you know, moving in, there's, it's not just a new situation and a new environment, but you're also dealing with tons and tons of people who are also emotionally heightened. And it's just, it's such an, there's such a buzz in the air. And yeah, it definitely can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you had a pretty relaxed move-in, pretty, you know, productive move-in.
Yeah. And then I'm also like, my room needs to be neat. Like, that's just how I am. Like, it's got to be clean. So that definitely helps with that for sure.
You know, I'm kind of curious. So I'm staff and I'm, you know, of an older generation. I went to school in the 90s. But it's interesting, the structure of residence halls has not changed. And so it's still, you know, a hallway with students, usually two per room. Like, how are students getting to know each other in this day and age?
So, I think now with like social media, it's just too easy to find out who's going to be in your class. Like, I remember we had a Haven Hall, which is my residence hall. We had a Haven Hall group chat before I even got to campus. So it's just way too easy to find people now. But still, like, social media, like, you still miss that, like, lack that in-person connection as well. So you find the way I have found my group, my friends on my floor has been them walking in my room. Hey, do you have like a plastic bag or something? Oh, hey, do you have some water, or whatever? So like that sort of like, oh, do you mind if I borrow something real quick? And then like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, oh, you can hang out in here next time later. All right. And then we'll start playing video games, or whatever. We'll start talking, hanging out. And then it turns into like an actual friendship.
Okay.
So yeah, that's how I've seen it start up.
So just like a functional justification to have an interaction.
Yes. And also it helps because it's a freshman sophomore dorm. It's not just freshmen like for instance Day and Flint are.
Right.
So you also have sophomores that if you get lucky kind of understand your shoes and are willing to be like, hey, like I get what you're going through. So like, I got you. Like, let me know if you need anything. Like, well, my neighbor, he's been really helpful. I'm on like navigating campus, give me the lows and the highs, whatever. So that's also a blessing as well in disguise.
That's really cool. So are you in one of those floors that like, you know, people's doors are open, you walk down the hall and people are kind of bouncing from room to room? Or is it like a hotel where it's like you walk down the hall, all the doors are closed, you just go to yours, unlock it, get in and shut the door?
So like ours, they're almost always closed, but there's like an open door policy, as in you come in, make your presence known is all we ask. And then all we, like our little system is you can come in whenever you want, but the door's locked, it's locked for a reason. So
gotcha.
Like if I'm napping, I'll lock the door.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's been, it's a nice little thing. Just like, you know, have your friends like come in, I'll be playing video games, whatever. Friends just peep in, we'll just like hang out for a little bit, or we'll put like the game on. So yeah.
That's awesome. Does the whole floor interact with each other, or is it like little pockets of?
Yeah, it's little pockets. Like we know who's down to hang out and all that. So we're figuring it out, and we figured it out. So
Okay.
Yeah.
And how about the weekends? Are you one of the louder floors in the weekends?
I won't lie. Just a little bit. Yeah, just a little bit.
It's so interesting. Some floors, like each floor has its own personality.
Yeah, some floors are dead. Some floors are too alive.
Right. Interesting. So they don't house you with other posse students.
No, but you can if you want to.
Okay.
You can room with one of them. We were just like under the impression, like, let's disperse. Well, we also can't choose our residence halls, but we can choose our roommate.
Gotcha.
But I know I've talked to like some of my posse friends saying like, yo, down the line, we should totally like room together.
Okay.
So we've definitely talked about it. But we also want to like expand as much because, you know, they make their friends. I meet their friends. I make new friends and they meet my friends. So
you're not in this posse bubble.
Exactly. The whole time. Yeah, we've all talked about that. We kind of want to avoid like just specifically hanging with each other, but we also don't want to forget about each other.
That's a really healthy outlook. And, and the fact that you guys actually had a discussion about it.
Yeah.
Like it's intentional.
Yeah.
You know, and so you don't have to go through the, oh, they're hanging out with other people.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like there's an understanding that, you know, we'll see each other regularly, but we also want to expand our social circle.
Yeah.
Very cool. So Syracuse University is a pretty large private school. It's a PWI, predominantly white institution. Do you mind talking a little bit about your background and your identity and what your experience has been like since you've been here?
So I'm from Miami, which is a glorified South American country. No, but culturally, it's a different world. And, you know, being surrounded by that my whole life, like I've been very like protected and shielded from the rest of the U.S.
You've been the majority.
Exactly. I've never like really been a minority. So that's been something. So I'm Cuban Spanish. So those are my two like ethnicities. Spanish is my first language. And it's been different at Syracuse. A lot of the other posse members are also Hispanic. So, you know, like keeping my culture alive and like my language, like my biggest fear is losing my Spanish. So that's been definitely been a concern of mine. I will say that I'm very surprised at if you do look for like, if like, let's say you come into Syracuse, and you're like, dang, like I'm really worried, like I'm going to lose my culture. If you look for it, I promise you, you'll find it, but you got to look for it because it took me a minute. It took all of us a minute, but like we're finding it. We're finding all of our, like, you know, there's crazy organizations on campus about it as well. The Office of Diversity and Inclusion always will help out with anything. So it's just something you got to look for and you got to work for a little bit. But yeah, you just got to make sure it like doesn't just drown out though.
So you're saying that you have to be intentional and kind of do some research and identify pockets, spaces, orgs that reflect your culture.
Yes.
Did you have to did somebody sit you down and tell you that? Or did
so, you? And actually, funny enough, in Posse, those PCTs, they were like, we got to let you guys know. This is a PWI. This is the first private school I've ever been to. I've gone to public schools my whole entire life. So that's definitely something to, that's definitely something to think about as well. And then, they were like, kind of giving us the lowdown, like, you guys got to understand, like, this is a little bit of a different world. And it was also something we were kind of expecting, like you go to New York, the Northeast, there's not an abundance of Hispanic population over there. But then again, it's also nice because we also don't have that crazy American culture back down in Miami.
Right.
So like it's like every now and then, but like that's not the majority over there.
Right.
So seeing that is definitely something to relate to. And Northeast culture is also very different. That it's cool to see like sort of the different regions of the U.S.
100%.
And how that you like geographically that also changes. So That's also cool to see.
Definitely. I mean, aside from the weather and, you know, the trees and the different types of environmental things that you're going to see that are definitely make you feel like you're in a different part of the country. There's no palm trees up here.
Yeah.
But there's also in different regions, like, you know, how we speak, different phrases, the pace of our language.
Yeah.
You know, if we're in a rush all the time or if we're pretty laid back, like all those things can be different depending on where you are in the U.S.
Like one of the funny things actually that I noticed, and that was just like, it was just like by chance, like I wasn't looking for it. But for instance, and this is like very small, but let's say you want to go somewhere in maps, right? In Miami, the distance is not far. Nothing in Miami is like actually far. but the traffic, it causes it to like somewhere that should be 10 minutes away is 20.
Right.
But here, the distance as well as the miles are typically the same. So it's cool to see like, oh, it's not traffic. It's like the actual distance you're traveling is far. So that's definitely something to like to relate to as well. Like I hear somebody's like, oh, 60 miles away. I'm like, dang, that's like an hour car ride. So yeah, stuff like that is something that I've taken note of.
I remember I moved back to Syracuse. I was living in New York City for a little bit and I moved back to Syracuse and I was listening to the traffic report. And in Syracuse, they were saying, you know, traffic's backed up on Route 31. Give yourself an extra 10 minutes.
Oh, no, 10 minutes.
Like, whoa.
Yeah.
So another thing that you had mentioned in terms of, you know, being a student at SU was the socioeconomic differences because we're a private yes. institution. And that's something that, you know, I don't know if we talk about as much. And so yeah. I think, you know, we want to be sensitive, obviously, as we talk about, but whatever you're comfortable sharing.
Yeah, of course. So I grew up in like a middle low class, excuse me. I grew up in a economically lower middle. So that was definitely something to acknowledge before coming here. So for instance, like I've had conversations with my mom about, you know, coming to Syracuse, watch what you're spending.
Yeah.
You know, taking into account. I've had to contribute into like, you know, my college pricings as well, fundings. So that's something to acknowledge as well, because most people here don't have to, can't relate to that. So for instance, like friends are going out, hey guys, I got to hold back on this one. I can't.
Yeah.
So, that is definitely just something to think about, you know, like you don't go into campus thinking that everybody's paying, like, you know, the tuition here as well. So,
right.
It's just something to like acknowledge before you come. And at times it can get you down a little bit, like thinking, oh, let's just take an Uber to this place and eat over here. It's like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
So I've like missed out on something sometimes and it doesn't feel the greatest, but like, then again, surround yourself with friends that make you feel good about it. So like, for instance, I'll never hold my friends back from going out, but saying like, hey, I can't do that. But like, when you guys get back, let me know, we'll hang out. Or friends saying, all right, you know, you're right. Like we've been going out pretty often. Let's stay in on this one. So stuff like that. But that's definitely something to be conscious about.
Have you ever had to have those kind of conversations?
It's less like having conversations with people. Cause I mean, for me, like just that doesn't bother me anymore.
Right.
I've been surrounded my whole life. I'm used to it. Like I know like my mom and I have this joke where it's like, if like the spending's a little too much this week, it's like, all right, rice and eggs for the week. And we're chilling. So,
which is delicious by the way.
Exactly. So stuff like that. Like I've become accustomed to it, but like more like things I'll have to think about where it's like people saying, oh, it's like, I'll just get my dad to pay for it. Or like, I'll get my grandma to pay for it. It's like, I've never heard that.
Right.
So stuff like that, like you'll hear things sometimes and it's like, oh, that's, I forgot, that's like a possibility for some people. Like that's crazy to think about. Like how you're saying, some people can just like, oh, this is like the remainder of your tuition, all right, let me just write a check real quick and here you go. Like that's crazy that some people can do that, whatever, and not like, you know, like budget a plan, like yeah. think it out, whatever. So just something to be conscious of before coming, and then making sure you're surrounding yourself with people who don't make you feel bad.
Right. 100%. And then kind of making sure you don't get swept up into
yeah.
living outside of your means.
Exactly.
You know, because I can understand how that could happen pretty easily. Like, oh, you know, FOMO. Like, oh, I'm definitely going to.
Exactly.
Don't want to get left out. And so that's mm-hmm. a really powerful, persuasive argument to go. But,
yeah.
you know, to always kind of keep in mind what works for you.
Yeah.
I think is important.
Yeah. And when I first got here, I was a little more like, oh, we're going out to eat? All right, let's go out to eat, whatever. But like, I've realized over time, I mean, we've been here for like 6 weeks. So like just under like a month and a half, whatever. So like still, I'm still learning, but definitely like, you know, there was a period of time where I was like, all right, yeah, let's go out. And like, I fell into the trap of just like, it's all right. Like it's okay. It'll work itself out. But like, you know, kind of understanding. And like you said, talking to your friends, kind of letting you know, hey, I can't do it.
Right.
Like I fit, like once the bank account hits zero, like there's nothing I can do.
Right.
So yeah, just talking about it and being weary of it before you come.
It's interesting. Like as we go through the academic year, like spring break, you know, how people
yeah.
spend their spring break.
Exactly. Yeah. That's also something like hearing people like fall break is 2 days off. We have making it just a long weekend. and everyone, people are going back to their homes, going on a little vacation, and I'm staying here. So
catching up on homework.
Exactly. So, but then again, I do get, but it also helps in the sense of my mom, like, said, I'm coming back for Thanksgiving break, and I'm ecstatic about it. So, like, I'm so happy that, like, I'm going. So it kind of makes those moments just, like, a little bit nicer where it's like, oh, yes, like, now it's my turn.
Nice.
So it's nice. You got to, like, find little ways to, like, see the light at the end of the tunnel in a way.
Nice. Thinking about, you know, what the classroom experience has been here at SU, and I know we're only a couple weeks into the semester. We're, like, a third of a way through at this point. But whatever you feel like sharing in terms of what your experience has been like in the classes that you're taking, I'm not going to pick out a particular class at this point. How has it been being a student here?
So far, I've been loving it. I mean, then again, so I have, I'm getting what's called a BFA, which is a Bachelor in Fine Arts. So that differs from a BA in the sense of I don't take all those gen eds. I take specifically major-based courses. So all my courses are ready first year. Are film related majors. The only gen ed I take is one, which is an English class, which I need to take for, like, you know, when I'm writing, like, my film reports and all that. So I've been, like, very focused in my class, I guess, because they've all been things that I care about. It's all been film. There's no, like, math or science, whatever. But the nice thing about Syracuse is I could take it if I wanted to.
Right.
So classes have been, they've been going good. The long lectures I've been staying, you know, in touch with the entire time. Even, like, some, we have some that are 4 hours. My Monday is 6:45 to 9:45 p.m.
Wow.
Yeah. So sometimes they can run late. And then, like, today I had one from 9:30 and usually runs to 1:30. So
how do you stay tuned in? What's your process?
The professors are pretty lenient in the sense of, like, we get, like, two breaks in between, maybe sometimes three. It's pretty, like, lenient. Like, all right, how are we feeling? Do we want to keep going? Do we want to hold for a little bit? But then again, I love film, so it's not something that I'm like, oh, dang, like, I'm not locked in here. So it's only, like, when it becomes, like, difficult subject matter, like when talking about, like, cameras and, like, technicalities and all that, that I sometimes are like, I'll be dozing off a little bit. But yeah, staying locked in has been, like, a goal of mine as well. So, and, like, starting off, it's much easier to stay on track than to get back on track. So right. That, like, added pressure is there as well. Classes have all been, they've all been good. It's been very easy to meet with my counselor and just sort of, like, structure my schedule pretty nicely. So yeah, it's been nice. And then we have first year seminar as well, which it feels like Posse 2.0. Like, it feels like the same thing I've done, but I've, like, never had I couldn't have any complaints.
Okay. FIS 101. People tend to have opinions about that class.
I have my opinions. I mean, I totally understand why. And then, like I said, I did some research on, like, why it is the way it is. But once you feel like you've been doing, you know, FYS since January till August till now, you feel like I kind of got the ropes of this one. But I get, like, the purpose of it. And I could totally see how, like, that would benefit someone who isn't part of Posse.
Right.
And then I, of course, I'm not, like, putting myself above it. I definitely can, you know, learn some things from it as well. But yeah, I understand the message that they're trying to send with it, and I appreciate it because I'll never, you know, get mad at someone for fighting for me.
Right.
But then again, like, speaking for me is also like it's something.
It's a fine line to walk.
Yeah.
You know, to advocate versus speak for.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very into that, like, sort of not controversial, but sort of like puzzling questions. That's like, for instance, like, I don't know if you've seen any of those videos where, like, someone will wear, like, you know, a sombrero and, like, a poncho, and they'll be like, is this offends me? And a bunch of people who aren't, like, Mexican, whatever, be like, yes, that's offensive, whatever. And they go into, like, a very Mexican populated community, and everyone's like, man, you're looking great, you're looking fire. So, like, everyone's down with it. So stuff like that, like, not that I side for it one way or another,
right?
But I just think it's interesting.
And it can be more nuanced.
Exactly. So, like, I've always been under the impression that culture is something that needs to be shared. And you, like, you don't want to gatekeep culture. You want to spread that.
Right.
So that's why I'm not here to show you, here's my culture, but you can't touch it.
Right.
So, like, stuff like that I'm really intrigued about, especially when it's my culture. And so, like, people saying, oh, you can't do that to his culture. Well, it's like, well, I thought I was deciding, because now it's kind of like you're doing what you were saying you shouldn't do.
We should totally do a podcast about cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
And, like, the different, like, really, like, the sides to it.
Yeah. Because it's Because the way I've always interpreted it, as long as you're not making a mockery of it, I have no problem.
Yep.
Because, I mean, even then, like, you know, just spreading culture just so much, like between the food, the apparel, the instruments, like, it's amazing. Like, when I hear, like, some of my friends, like, who make music, they'll make beats with, like, you know, like, some maracas or, like some Hispanic instruments, whatever. So, like, a cajon is, like, a little box that you sit on and you play, like, drums, kind of like bongos. And, like, I'll hear that in their piece and I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, that makes me so happy. So, that's just my opinion on it. So, a class like FYS, I don't know really how I feel about it. But when it comes to like the team bonding aspect and all that, and like the regardless of your culture, you need to be there for your classmates. Like that, I respect as well.
You would be a great FYS 101 peer leader.
I was thinking about it actually. I saw their stand at the club fair. I was thinking about it. One of my friends has one.
Yeah, you get paid too. And I mean, any lead instructor that would have you as a peer leader would be very fortunate.
Oh, like, thank you so much. That'd be very nice actually. Probably think about that more,
something
though.
Something to think about. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
The last thing I wanted to touch on, just in general, was your experience with the food here. I mean, talk about regional differences.
Yeah. I will say, so I'm right by Ernie Davis, which is like, depending on who you ask, that's known as like the dining hall on campus.
Yep.
So I will say, I'm not vegetarian, so I have no like dietary restrictions. I'm lactose intolerant, but I don't. Like, I still... I'll eat any dairy. It doesn't matter. I'll suffer the consequences later. That's a it's a later problem. But so I have no dietary restrictions for anyone who does. Like, it's still a really nice place. They have vegan options, gluten free. They also have some like cultural sections. There's like sometimes they have, it's almost like Chipotle styled in the corner on some days. They have an Asian cultural section as well, an African cultural section as well. So they're very diverse with their food options. And then they have some things that are consistent. Like, for instance, the pizza's always there. The cereal's always there, like, no matter what time. So far, I've been very appreciative of the food. I mean, like, I've never had something that, like, I just don't like straight up. But then again, if you do, that's okay. You just get something else.
Right.
And it's buffet style. So just choose what you like. And then something I recommend is, like, trying things. Like, sometimes, like, there's something, I won't even know how to pronounce the name of it, but I'll, like, put, like, a tiny bit on my plate just to try it. And then if I don't like it, I don't like it. But no, I've been very happy. And then I'd say my one thing is I need to sort of expand my horizons when it comes to dining hall. So there are a couple. Graham is one that I've heard is amazing. I've been there like twice, and that one's been really nice.
Is that one up on the mount?
Yes. So that one's really nice. I've been to Shaw, and then there are a couple more. So just trying to expand on them because, you know, whether they cook food differently or they just have different food on different days.
Right.
Stuff like that I do want to try.
Before it gets cold.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not making any treacherous walks up to the mountain when it's cold. I'm good, thank you.
Time's a ticking.
Yep.
Anything else that, you know, you want to throw out there just thinking about your experience? And I think it would be really great to, like, sit down later in the semester just to kind
of
see, like, where you are now.
Yeah.
And, you know,
if anything's
your thoughts.
Changed.
Exactly.
Or, yeah.
And now you kind of have this time capsule of like,
yeah,
what you were feeling like 6 weeks into your first semester, which is really cool too. And I'm sure Posse is going to be thrilled to hear about your experience. But what are you, any other thoughts that you might have that we haven't touched on?
I'd say for anyone that's like, you know, coming into Syracuse or just thinking about college in general, like, just trust yourself. And I know that's so generic, just like let it happen, but like, no, I'm so serious when I say like just relax and everything is gonna work itself out. It is a scary thing, you know, college is scary, but like you find your groups and it just works. Like I go to the Barnes Center where I play basketball for hours, and like the one thing I'd sell Syracuse on is like the camaraderie that the whole student body has. It's so nice. Everyone's so sweet to each other. Like everything just works out. People will fight for you. Like this has been like one of the nicest experiences I've ever had. And I was so nervous whether I wouldn't get involved. I wouldn't like my classes. I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't do that. Like this school, they help you out with what you want to do. So like I'm looking to pair film with, you know, either history or some type of marine biology or even like environmental studies. And they're so willing to help me on it. Like everything has been amazing. So whether it's student, faculty, staff, anybody, someone's going to fight for you. Everything will work out. You're not going to have no friends. It's like everything's going to work out. And then the last thing to leave like everybody on would be that there are some things you're not going to avoid. And there are things that are going to happen at a university. And that's just what happens when you go to like a big school. And that there are some things that a college can't see past. So if you hear a rap that, oh, this school has a bunch of these types of kids or annoying people or like, you know, stuff like that. Colleges can only see your resume and they can only see what you turn in. So that's something that you can't avoid. And you're not going to, by not going to a certain school, you're not going to avoid that.
Right.
That they're also not like, oh, this Syracuse kid. No, it's there's also just him or her, them specifically.
Right.
So there are some things you aren't going to avoid, but that just varies from person to person.
They can't weed out everything.
Exactly. They can only do so much. It's still a school. So.
Well, thank you, Julian. This has been absolutely a pleasure. Yeah,
thank you.
We should definitely do that cultural appropriation podcast.
There's I will so be there.
Much we can I talk about.
I promise you, I will be there.
Sounds good. All right. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Lonely Campus Podcast. I'm Armando Martinez, Director of Inclusion and Belonging. If you found this podcast helpful, let us know and feel free to share other ways we can make campus more welcoming and inclusive to all. Thank you. All right.